The DraftKings Sportsbook. Now get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Simply download the app, sign up using promo code VEASAN, and get started with the only top-rated book that matters, DraftKings. You can bet on it. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Frank B. had a good tweet over the weekend. ESPN asked all of their beat writers their thoughts over or under on season wins, right when William Hill came out with them last week. The tally, 22 overs, 6 unders, and 4 pushes. Is it any wonder the public leans so heavily to favorites when betting?
Sure.
He tweets. And the other thing, too, if you watch all these shows, how many times will someone actually pick a dog outright to win a game on all these pregame shows?
Well,
or pick, you know, when they do the picks before the game starts?
I have to be honest. With our conversation with Dave Zangaro last segment on the Eagles, I thought it was refreshing. Because a lot of times you'll bring on people from certain markets, and every single time it's going to be, well, I think they're going to go over, and it's not like they're not wearing the jersey of the team, but it's like, that's the way they lean. All he said, he doesn't know if the Eagles can get the 7 wins, and quite frankly, he doesn't know if Hurts is the guy, neither does the team.
Yeah,
like I thought he had some excellent answers in that spot that he did with us 10 minutes ago.
Bizarre. We're talking about a big year and he could be gone.
Yeah, right.
If it doesn't work out this year and
sure.
He was a second-round pick.
Some of the numbers that they posted here at Circa on the draft position positions for certain players. Well, they put up 3.5 for Justin Fields. Under was minus 160. The over is now minus 150. So people betting that he's not going to go number 3. They put up a 6.5 on Lance. They put up a 9.5 on Mac Jones under 260. They moved to 9 under $3. Was the favorite there. They put up a 98.5 on Kellen Mond. He's now at 91.5. They put up 64.5 on Kyle Trask. He's 77.5 now. And on Mills from Stanford, they placed 81.5 on him. He's down to 68.5. But I think some of the movement here is incredible. And like a lot of the guys at the top, the juice hasn't moved yet and their position hasn't moved yet. But... And, you know, they did 3.5 pages here of players, so there's plenty on the board. They have, like, some guys going in the 4th, 5th, 6th rounds. That wide receiver from St. Brown, his opening number was 134.5. He's down to 100.5.
Oh!
He's moved 34 spots. The wide receiver from South Dakota State, they put up 120.5. He's 147.5. And the wide receiver from Florida, Grimes, the opening number was 240.5. It's now 211.5. So you see a lot of these huge moves coming from guys like in the middle rounds, but some of the guys at the top, sharp numbers.
And Dave said that his best guess was Horn to the Eagles at 12. He's 13.5 under minus 140. This is just phenomenal. Well, you got draft props up on Bouchel and Book and Mond and Newman and Franks and Mills, and the Trask has moved 13 spots.
Yeah.
60. You can kiss that goodbye with the first round, I guess. But 64.5 up to 77.5. And now Peter King has changed his tune. From my gut's telling me late first round to I could see him go first or the fourth.
Okay. What? All right.
Wrote that today.
All right. So Jeffrey Benson works here at Circa. He's going to join the program coming up next. What are the biggest moves they've made with draft positions at this point? And we'll talk about overall bets coming in on them as well.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Padres salvage the final game of their home series with the Dodgers 5-2. Today, the Padres will have Joe Musgrove on the mound, laying $1.40 against the Brewers in Brandon Woodruff, plus 130, 7-flat at Petco Park. Dodgers continue their road swing as a $2 favorite at the Seattle Mariners. Dustin May with the Dodgers, Justice Sheffield with the Mariners, 8-flat at T-Mobile Park. In the NBA, the Utah Jazz, a 5.5-point road favorite of the LA Lakers, 214.5 the total at Staples Center. Milwaukee Bucks laying 3 at home with the Phoenix Suns, 235.5 the total. Don't miss VSiN's coverage of the NFL Draft. We'll have full coverage at VSiN.com and daily best bet email updates, 24/7 video access. Plus, we'll be live all night during round one with Brent Musburger, Michael Lombardi, Gil Alexander, Mike Pritchard, and all of our VSiN football experts. Start your free trial now at vsin.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSiN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Oh.
time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Hey, top of the morning to you. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Polly Howard live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino, our spot where we broadcast from 5 days a week. We are expecting to talk to Jeff Benson, who is the Sportsbook Operations Manager here at Circa, coming up here momentarily. And we've talked about their NFL draft props here quite a bit on today's program. So the positions now, we've discussed those a lot. The which team will draft Kyle Trask is on the board, and they listed a number for all 32 teams in football. I think it's great. The longest shots are the Chargers, Niners, Jets, Jags, and Packers. They're all at 300-1. Could you make a case like, could a team pull what the Redskins did back in, like, what, 2012 when they took RG3 that high and they came back with Kirk Cousins? Is that possible? Like, for Jacksonville to go Trevor Lawrence in the first and then come back with Kyle Trask in the fourth or fifth at 300-1? I don't know.
Yeah.
300-1. But, the favorites or the shortest shots on the board are the Patriots and the Bears at plus 650. There's a lot of, you know, narratives where the Bears would fit. Texans are plus 750. The Broncos are 8-1. You brought up Washington a little bit earlier, 11-1. Look down the list. Saints, maybe 30-1.
Well, the other thing we haven't mentioned too with Atlanta and San Francisco and what happened today with the second pro day, remember, and this is Lombardi has said this and many people, that Washington loves Lance too.
Right.
And if Washington could run up there and sneak up to four, get, or how high would they have to get to nab them and the draft prop at circa 6.5?
Sure.
I wonder how that would go transpire.
I know Brian Rogers, behind the scenes here at VSiN, this is like one of his favorite events of the entire year. He told us during the break that he has a ton of bets. He made a couple on Trask earlier in the show. He bet the Rams at 40-1. I could see the Rams take that. That could be a landing spot for him, right? As they acquired, you know, Stafford in the offseason. But there's a lot of mileage on that body and certainly his arm. And, you know, Trask would make sense there. Nice weather. Well, it's a dome. But then, obviously, to work with McVay and how he could bring out the best in that guy, I could see something like that happening. You want to get creative and think about somebody that's, you know, middle of the pack here. The Seahawks at 100-1, I think, is kind of intriguing. The Cardinals would be that position, that team that I talked about. Well, yeah, they're fine at quarterback right now, but maybe they go for a younger guy, like in the fourth or fifth round if he happens to be there.
Don't the Dolphins have to take a wide receiver? Yes, minus 270.
Or Pitts.
Yeah. Is he there, though? What are the odds he's there?
Let me ask you this. I'll answer your question.
The Sewell thing's all over the place, too.
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks ago, I saw him 11. Now it's like he's got to go 5.
Let me ask you. Are you more unsure what's going to happen at number 4 or what could happen at like 4, 5, and 6 combined? Because 4 is completely up in the air right now, right? But then even when you dial in what could happen there, and let's say they go quarterback, let's say you're convinced the Falcons keep the pick and they go Lance, let's say.
Right? I'm confident 5, Sewell, 6 is Chase.
You're confident Sewell's now number 5. See, I'm not at all.
Yeah.
I'm not at all.
You think it could be Chase?
I think that absolutely could be Chase.
Okay.
And then if Chase goes 5, then you're right. I mean, Dolphins on the clock. And I think Pitts would make some sense there, obviously.
What are the Patriots? Do the Patriots make a trade? Does Atlanta make a trade? Does Carolina try to move up?
Yep.
What does Washington do? I like that.
All right. Jeff Benson joins the program now. He is the operations manager down here at Circa Sportsbook, and he's on the horn now. Jeff, good morning. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well. First of all, standing ovation to you and the staff here at Circa. I know that you guys were teasing this like last week. It was like on Wednesday or Thursday. You can expect like a full rundown of a ton of props. You guys really, I mean, awesome job, Jeff. The menu here is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at a lot of this stuff, you know, maybe most sports books don't necessarily roll out the biggest menu. I mean, obviously for the draft stuff, you know, you're not going to find a ton of recreational money on this stuff. You know, but obviously last year, being in COVID, you know, we expanded our draft menu, given that that was, you know, really one of the only things we could focus on. So, you know, Dylan Sullivan, who's one of our risk supervisors, and the guys in the back, they did a tremendous job putting together the entirety of this menu. And, you know, we're really proud to be able to offer 100 over under draft positions, mm-hmm. You know, 32, you know, bets on, you know, what each team will do for their first draft pick. And then obviously having six tournament style offerings, you know, the ability to give, you know, our players, you know, a lot of these bets on a lot of different markets is something we're really excited about and, you know, certainly looking forward to come draft day.
What was the back and forth like when you guys were getting ready to put these numbers up? Like, how many guys were involved and what were the conversations like on, you know, the players that you wanted to post and all of that?
You know, for us, you know, Dylan really put together the entirety of our menu. You know, we just wanted to put up as many guys as possible and kind of let the market take it where it wants. You know, for us, you know, giving people the ability to sweat things on day one, two, and three. So, mm-hmm. you know, we put up a lot of these quarterback wide receivers, you know, people who aren't necessarily just going to go in the first round, but it's going to be a day one, two, and three process. And the action and the bets, you know, off the get-go has been really, really incredible.
Yes, and that's excellent what you did there with some of the big names and where you can see second, third, or fourth round. What dictates big? Some of these have moved 20, 30 spots. I mean, how many limit bets do you take before a guy? And like, what's the move? How many is it? Three spots? Or here comes another limit bet. I mean, can you take us through that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's, you know, when you look at some of the biggest moves that we've had, you know, when you look at the quarterback, Davis Mills for Stanford, and Kellen Mond from Texas A&M, and both of them have been very, very popular. You know, we opened Davis Mills 140.5. We're all the way down to 68.5.
Whoa.
Kellen Mond opened 170.5. He's down to 91.5. You know, Schwartz 145.5 to 97.5. And then obviously, you know, some of these offensive linemen, you know, have moved, you know, 15, 20, 30 spots. So, you know, I think it's really important, you know, to dissect some of these moves to understand the position we're in come draft day. And I think ultimately when you look at, for example, the Kellen Mond opener, you know, with respect to what the number is now, you know, one might think we get murdered to the under, you know, but you really have to understand the moves early to get to what in the end you believe is the right number. And, you know, a lot of times ultimately the market's going to dictate that. So, you know, for us, we opened 170.5 and the first bet we took was on the under. You know, given that there's no market out there for this stuff, we're going to move really aggressively to get to a number that we think we're going to find resistance at. So for our first move at a dime under was the 155.5 in the hope that we'd write some two-way there. You know, the next bet was a dime under, and now we're at 140.5. So, you know, I think, you know, for the guys in the back utilizing the skill and the talent, you know, one might think we took 5, 6, you know, 7 bets to get to that 140.5 number, when in reality it was only 2 bets. So I think when you're booking this stuff, you know, you might move, you know, 10%, you know, for guys in a certain range, and then you can kind of start to parse out these moves proportionally. You know, I think as you work your way either up or down the draft board, and then you start to tinker with the over-under position or the juice that's associated with a certain number if you don't want to move off that number. You know, I think a lot of it is feel, some of it is kind of science and math, and you know, I think trying to get ahead of the perception-based bets and a lot of the rumors and smoke screens can be very challenging, especially when you're the only one on the market.
Okay, so I'm guessing that's the same thing then for, like, and Mond is like a big-name player coming into the draft. He played, you know, for like a ton of years at quarterback, that, you know, position. But like a random player, St. Brown, the receiver from USC, on the sheet here, I'm not even sure where his opener was, but on the sheet I know that I got from this weekend, it was 134.5. He moved down to 100.5. Like, is that one bet then, or is that a couple of bets as well in a guy like that?
No, you're probably gonna start a little bit less than 10%. So you might make, you know, a 7 or 8% move on the first one, and then as you start to kind of feel out the market where a lot of these numbers are going, you know, I think for us the majority of the bets and the moves we took early were unders. So when you kind of start to see some of those bets, you can kind of get a feel for where the market's going on a lot of these players.
Yeah, makes sense. So it's a percentage on pretty much every single player. Doesn't matter if it's a first-round guy potentially or a guy that could go in the fifth or sixth round.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, as you work your way up or down the board and you look at the positions, you know, when you're looking at a guy, you know, like Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase, and, you know, where you open up those guys, you're probably not going to move off the 5.5, 6.5 number that you open up. You're probably more going to tinker with the juice based on the bets, because obviously those numbers are much lower, and the range for moving those is going to be a lot smaller, as opposed to the guys who are, you know, projected to be drafted, you know, in say the third, fourth, or fifth round.
How about this, Jeff? The number, I thought it was a fascinating number that you guys opened with Mac Jones at 9.5. And now at last check, that number was moved to 9, but the under was minus $3. Have you gotten any overaction on that number at Mac Jones at all?
Yeah, great point. I'm really glad you brought it up. You know, I think it's from a game theory and a betting theory perspective, you know, I think it's fascinating to look at correlated markets within the draft. You know, I think when you look at Mac Jones and Justin Fields, you know, I think they both go hand in hand, in my opinion. You know, with the Niners trading up to the third pick in the draft, it's kind of the worst kept secret in the league that they're going to draft a quarterback. And the amount of opinions, you know, I think that center on these two players and who's going to go in that third position is really incredible. And I think, you know, we've certainly seen that bared out with, you know, how the market is pricing these two. You know, it certainly looked like a foregone conclusion, at least, you know, to the market, you know, that Mac Jones was going to go number three. And then certainly here in the last, you know, week or so, we've really seen that Fields love come, and he's certainly been favored, at least lately in the market, to go number three. So for us, we opened Fields 3.5 under $2. We've seen $1.50 move there as the over is now favored at minus 150. But to your point, you know, whereas we opened Mac Jones 9.5 under minus 160, that price has climbed to minus $3.
Yeah.
So conversely, when you look at Fields, you know, his over has been bet and has moved a ton. And when that happens, if bettors are taking Fields over in turn, the correlation there is that one would think that the Niners would be taking Jones instead. So for us, obviously, with a lot of Field over bets, in turn, we have conversely taken a ton of Mac Jones bets as well. So, you know, when you look at a lot of what the outcomes are going to be, obviously, the Niners could draft Trey Lance or somebody else. But one would think if they don't draft Fields that they're probably drafting Mac Jones. So, you know, like I said, those bets go hand in hand, and there's a very, very high correlation between Fields over and Mac Jones under, and we've certainly seen that in the betting market.
That is
here in the last couple of days.
Terrific insight, Jeff. And so the other stuff that you put up as well, like the index props, are the Trask bets popular so far? And I'll say this about like the Raiders menu. Like you guys posted these on Saturday. If they're not popular yet, they will in the next 2 weeks, because once the public who live here in Las Vegas gets knowledge of that, I think they're going to be coming here to Circa for sure and firing on that, on those bets.
Yeah, I would say the early action we've seen has been a lot of the over-under stuff, you know, particularly from some of the sharper guys. But as we get closer to the draft and people understand the menu, obviously, given that, you know, we're a Raiders market now, you know, I certainly think some of those bets will be very, very popular. And then when you look at some of the more tournament-style offerings like the Kyle Trask one, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, want to bet a small amount to win a larger amount. And obviously having the ability to handicap some of those longer shot teams and, you know, whether somebody's going to trade in, you know, up in the draft to draft him and things like that. You know, obviously the information age we're living in, you know, I mean, you're going to see a lot of these, you know, rumors and stuff start on Twitter about where people think people are going to go. And, you know, I certainly think, you know, when you look at the market, you know, a lot of that is going to be dictated in a lot of these rumors and smoke screens and, you know, the team's only going to draft this. So, you know, I think the next, you know, 7 to 10 days is going to be really exciting when you look at the draft market. And then obviously with other people going up with their numbers, you know, you certainly may see a lot of action here leading up to the draft.
No doubt. Jeff, again, great job over the weekend. You and the entire staff, thanks so much for coming on today. We appreciate that.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Enjoy the draft.
Yep, you too. And great, he's job. On Twitter at JeffreyBenson12. Yeah, 100 different draft positions. They said it.
Yeah.
They lived up to it. It was better than I expected.
Oh, sure.
And some of the other stuff that's available is on top of everything else. But yep. That answer on Jones and Fields and how the bettors here think it's going, that kind of tells you that Jones probably going to go number three. Fields then is going to be available, and then what happens? Do the Falcons want him at four, if that's the case? Do teams, if that happens then, because see, if Jones is off the board at number four, nobody's going to be calling the Falcons to move up and get him. But if Jones goes number three and Fields is on the board, I think that's when teams are going to say, oh my God, we got it.
Yeah.
Get on the phone right now and see what it's going to take for him.
And if the pick is not Jones, how far does he fall?
Where exactly
does
he go? Right.
I don't know that. I don't know. Maybe it's Carolina. But if it's not Carolina, does he fall to New England? Or does New England move up to, I don't know, 9 or 10 or something like that? And who knows what Denver's going to do? And I love his talking about getting a sweat and having something on day two and second, third, and fourth round as well. Everything you want's up there.
See, I didn't know that. I didn't know that Mond. We got the sheets here. It says 90 and a half.
Opened up.
Same thing with Mills.
He said, yeah.
I think Mond was 170. Mills was 140-something. Oh. We'll run down the movement from the weekend, line moves, some bad beats, and win some, lose some. That's coming up next.
Horse racing fan, First Bet's the place for you. Wagering on races at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks, easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Secure payments, great customer service, reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. The promo code is Vegas100. Sign up today, get a $100 match bonus on your first deposit. VSiN.com/horses, promo code Vegas100. The other thing about these guys are so sharp, but they're great on air, too. The explanation, Benson, Metcalf,
oh, absolutely.
Jeff Davis. Yeah. Yep. You know, for more so, Palm's on Wednesday in studio, finally. Can't wait. Looking forward to that. Time for a win loop.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In win some, lose some. Let the education commence.
Not a lot happened. Bad beats. Doubleheader. One of the Mets Rockies. Total was 7. 1-0 in the fifth. 4-3 final. That was a tough push. Capitals Flyers, first period under 1.5. Flyers scored a goal with 1 second in the period. 1-1. Pelicans yesterday, 1.5 and under 218. Knicks down 3 late. They hit a 3-4 overtime where 28 points are scored. 122 to 112. Big win for the Knicks. UFC, Romanov decision 5-1. Malkoon to win by decision plus 625. Mearshart by submission plus 250. Round 1. 4-1, what, eight of the 10 fights went to decision? Something like that? Very good. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. I mean, this is just absolute madness on the couch with the wiener dogs. I mean, they're having a good, these guys are going at it. Back and forth wrestling. This guy's just, look at the, say, hey, what about me? Look at his face.
And he's got to get close.
Yeah, he's popping up every time.
Oh, eyeballs are popping right out of his head.
Right, and there's another one in there too. There's, how many dogs do they have there? There's like another guy on the couch, too, that I missed the first time. And look at this. How many can I get in my mouth? How many can I fit? This is Finley, USA Today Network. He can hold 6 tennis balls in his mouth at one time. This is the greatest hits. There we go. Number 1, outside. Piece of cake in the snow. Number 2, by the pool. Turn around and bam. Look at that. And that's, I can't believe it. That's a talent right there. That's a big talent. And one lose some. Yeah, the birds. So this is, guys, come on. Heck, it's in the package. It's not.
And they keep going back for more.
Yeah. They get, no, you're not going to get any there. You get anything? No. Yeah.
Can I add one, lose some here?
Sure.
Nigel Seeley is not happy at all on Twitter.
A lot of people aren't happy. 12 teams, Super League?
He is. I think he's livid. I don't even know if there's a strong enough word. He's calling it a total disgrace with the Super League. He hates it. I haven't seen, well, he's actually responding to one talk show host who actually likes the idea. But Nigel said it's a disgrace. Most fans who I have seen like on social media, Nigel retweets this kind of stuff, not happy at all. And I don't blame him.
FTM at VSiN.com. It was the opinion of Anthony Curtis that they can't put it where they want. Michael has an email he shared, and I know Richard Munchin thinks differently about roulette. I used to talk to a girl who was a dealer at the Boats in Indiana. When I met her, I told her I only play roulette. She looked at me like I'm a fish. But then I said, well, that's the only game in the casino. She said, that's the only game in the casino that the dealer can control. I asked her about that, and she said the dealers can absolutely hit numbers. When she went to her roulette training class, a guy came in all cocky, telling the instructor he can roll a certain number. He hit it three times in a row, told everyone to sit down, class is in session. That's from Michael.
Did he take over then as the actual instructor?
Make it rain out here.
Right.
Sure. And we got time for the Buster Olney quick. I mean, this is just the Buster Olney tweet. The Dodgers in the regular season the last 2 years are now 56-19 with a plus 175 run differential. Over the course of a full season, that's 120-42 with a run differential of plus 378. Oh! Incredible.
And I saw a tweet earlier today. Acuna's off to this great start. The list of players in any 162-game stretch, right? So not a full season, obviously, but any stretch that could span a couple of seasons to have 50 home runs and 40 stolen bases. Bonds did that one time in a 162-game stretch. Acuna's now done it as well. Like, I know he got banged up last night. He left the game a little bit early. That guy has, like, 40-40, and people are starting to say, like, maybe, like, 50-40. He could pull something like that off in a full season. Stays healthy. He's going to make a run at 40-40 for sure. His numbers are just incredible.
Remember the Mickey Mantle story? I would have done it every year, but it wasn't a big deal.
It wasn't a big deal then, yeah.
30-30 or 40-40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
People didn't care.
I follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, Circa Resort and Casino, live in downtown Las Vegas. Up next, Jay Croucher is going to join the program with Points Bet. We got to ask him about the betting handle from that huge boxing match. No joke, over the weekend. Program. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Jay Croucher joins the program now. He is Director of Trading with PointsBet Sportsbooks. Jay, good morning. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. It's a big weekend. A little bit of a less manic than March Madness and the Masters, but still plenty going on.
Well, of course, but we still had this huge boxing match go on. And from what I understand, it was like a very big handle at a lot of sports books. Was that the same at PointsBet?
Yeah, it was a bit of a different kind of event. I think actually before this, I was actually a lawyer back in Australia. And I think if I told my parents a few years ago that I'd be pricing up Jake Paul fights, they might have wondered what had gone wrong. But yeah, it was a big fight for us, a lot of handle. Prices moved all over the place. And most of the bettors aligned on Jake Paul. So not the best result for us. But yeah, a lot of interest.
Now, we haven't had a lot of big boxing matches so far this year, obviously, but probably the highest handle of any match so far this year?
Yeah, it was, number one. So, yeah, bettors really interested in Jake Paul and everything that he's doing. So I think that, you know, look, the way the prices moved around, it showed that, you know, it was an event that probably wasn't the most rock solid in terms of things to draw from a pricing conclusion. But bettors were very confident in Paul the whole time. And yeah, lots of interest in him and the fight. And they were rewarded in the end.
Good result with Stuart Sink. And what'd you make of that performance?
Yeah, he turned back the clock. For us, it was good that he did it a week late because at the Masters, we took a significant bet on Stuart Sink to win at 500-1. Someone put $2,000 down on him, but they were unfortunately a week early, luckily for us.
Jeez.
Yeah, that is
no
something.
No kidding, huh? Okay.
Wow,
all
gangsta.
Right. Did you have much action at all on him, or was it just like nothing at all?
No, not too much interest. Not a great deal of faith in Stuart Sink. I think it was just that one person from the week before who really believed in him, but unfortunately didn't come back for more. But look, the event after the Masters is always going to be a slight downtick in handle. But most of the money that we saw was on guys like Colin Morikawa. I think he was our biggest liability in the end. So not too much on Sink.
Okay. Are they finally stopping betting on the Yankees? Have they say enough's enough? We keep, but they're down like 10 plus units here in the last 10 games.
It's tough. It's tough for the Yankees bettors, especially when Jared Cole goes down, because you think that he's going to be the one who's going to arrest the slide. But yeah, that team's in a bad place at the moment. I think the problem for them is that, you know, they were counting on all these kind of wild cards to be the number two starter. Kluber, Jameson Taillon, Montgomery, Herman, none of them have stepped up. And yeah, now they're 5-10, in probably 4.5 games back of the Red Sox, and also 4.5 games back in the AL of the likes of the Seattle Mariners, which I don't think anyone would have picked 16 games into the season.
Yeah, no kidding. The Padres-Dodgers series I thought was excellent television, even with a limited crowd. I thought the Padres fans showed up, Dodgers fans there too, and it was a great series to watch, a lot of drama. Did that kind of like show itself as well in the betting handle? Were people like betting that series big time?
Yeah, definitely. So that was our biggest handle series of the weekend. You know, I think these are probably the two best teams in baseball. And there's the chance that, you know, the Dodgers, they might finish 7 or 8 games clear of the Padres in the NL West, and the Padres still might be the second best team in the majors. So with all those pitching matchups, when you get, you know, Kershaw, Bauer, Buehler, Darvish, and Snell all in the one series, it's pretty incredible. And I think that, yeah, baseball right now is kind of centered in California for the next 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. Is the betting handle so far on baseball strong overall? Like, I guess on a day-to-day comparison, is it right there with the NBA? Is it better than the NBA? How would you compare it?
Yeah, so it's pretty much split down the middle for us between NBA and MLB. The first week of the baseball season, baseball was number one, just probably with the Final Four and the championship game taking some of the basketball handle that first week. But now it's really leveled out. I think there's probably a balance between baseball obviously has more games, but with NBA, there's more of an interest in player props and player markets. So that's kind of balancing out at the moment. And yeah, right now, can't really split them.
How many times do you think we're going to see the Dodgers as a dog? They went against Darvish and Snell on the road, and they were still favored.
It's unbelievable that you, Darvish, can be a dog at home with that lineup and that team. And I think that goes to show that, yeah, the Dodgers, in terms of them being underdogs the rest of the year, I was looking at their schedule. Like, they play at Milwaukee against Corbin Burns at the end of the month, but with the gap in offense, I think they'll still be favored there. And then you might have to go all the way until August when they play at the Mets. And I think that if Julio Urias is on the mound in New York against Jacob DeGrom, make DeGrom favorite there. But really, I think that it's going to be injuries for the Dodgers, and then, you know, maybe the odd bullpen game. That's probably what it's going to take.
You're looking at August. Oh, my God. Yeah. If everything falls right, maybe August, the first time they ever think about that.
That's, well, and then, but listen to what Jay said there, too. If it's Urias going.
Right.
So you're saying, not, like, yeah, if it's Bauer or Kershaw or maybe Buehler, you think the Dodgers would still be favored at New York against DeGrom?
Against DeGrom, it might be close to pick, just like that Darvish-Kershaw match was, where even though Kershaw was a slight favorite, but yeah, I just think the depth of that rotation, because obviously game-to-game baseball is going to be so predicated on who the starter is. And, you know, you look at the three teams in the AL right now that are leading the division, the Mariners, the Royals, the Red Sox. Dustin May is the fifth starter for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. He'd be the ace for all of those teams.
Yeah.
So that's where the Dodgers are at the moment.
Oh, great point. Jay, great stuff today as always. Thanks so much for coming on today. We appreciate that.
No worries, guys. Thanks for the time.
Excellent job.
And download the PointsBet app today. Sign up using the promo code VSIN2K to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. He went ahead. So that was a good job out of him. He looked at the entire schedule. And Burns has been as good as any of these guys going right now in Major League Baseball. But he's right. Dodgers, it depends on who's going to be going that day, but they will be favored. And then, yeah, maybe a pick him in some of those other games at DeGrom.
Short card, only one day game. Hello, Nesson. Big one for the Red Sox coming up. But some updated numbers now and some trends. White Sox are now 11-1-4 in the first five. Kansas City, first five under, 9-1-1. Texas, run scored in the first inning. Noah's on a 10-1 run. Cardinals, their opponent has scored first eight of the last nine. Atlanta, first five over, has cashed eight of the last nine. The Giants are 13-2 to the under on the season, first five. That I can't believe. And I ran down the scores earlier. About a 3-0, 4-1, 3-0, 4-1, some of these scores. And the Yankees have lost 8 of 10. You are down 10-plus units during that stretch. And they were still taking money a lot of those days.
I mean, would you rather be betting on the Yankees on a daily basis or the Pirates right now?
Yep.
There is no doubt which team. It's Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll tell you what we're betting today. In-pocket plays coming up. And what some of these teams have to do to either go over or stay under their win totals in the NBA next.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
Nope.
You're out.
All right, here we go. Time for our in-pocket place. What we're betting today.
Oh, that view. So good. Stadium swim.
Oh, man.
Ooh. Brian Rogers was out there this weekend. He said the talent... Oh, the Instagram models were out.
Yeah. Well, when we leave here on certain days, at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, I walk across the bridge to go to Garage Mahal. Not every day, but once a week, once every other week, I'm telling you, the talent that's walking through to do, like, talent shoots or whatever, I'm just like, it's 8 o'clock on a Tuesday. What the hell's going on here today?
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, I don't think that was not a winner on Friday. That was a loser, actually. Ace Tigers over 8.5 to not get there. That's a loser.
Oh.
But the Mariners plus money with Kikuchi against the Astros did get there. Astros now. No good. Bad stretch for this team.
Right.
And today, trying to find dogs again in Major League Baseball, I'm on the Brewers and Woodruff plus 138 in San Diego against the Padres.
How about the A's getting off the deck? How impressive is that? 0-6 and now 8 in a row?
Yeah.
What a job. Right? Well, the VGK didn't. It lost Friday and it won yesterday, so no good on Friday. 13-2 now run. Yes, goal in the first 10 for VGK. They're back at it again, again tonight against San Jose at home, laying 240. Couple pending. This doesn't look good. This is the second time in 4 years Peter King's going to get me. Over 5.5 quarterbacks in the first round, 3-1. And over 4.5 wide receivers taken in the draft. The first one is at DraftKings. The second prop is at William Hill. You can still find 220, 230. I mean, Mike D'Attilio is like, what? Give me the over. Give me the over. On Friday.
Oh, is that your Foghorn Leghorn?
Yeah.
I say. By the way, I will repeat this. That was minus 112 like 2 weeks ago. Not even 2 weeks ago. Minus 112 to the over 4.5.
Uh-huh. Yep. How about the John Von Tobel? Well,
what are you doing here? Go.
I lost, right?
Yep.
But yeah. Boy, it's cold here. Very cold. Hit the deck! Get back at it. Oh
you
God.
You can't with that. You're not going to win any. Ooh, that's a big boy right there.
What, you got the ace?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's a good in-between.
Sure.
This is a debacle. This month is just an
absolute 10-3. Debacle.
It's a good feeling right there. Ace of clubs.
An absolute debacle.
10-3, Pauly. Wow. I can smell another good week coming. And a really bad next Friday for you when you got to put a bet in for the crew behind the scenes.
After vacation, yep.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah. That bet will never be made. It'll never happen. Let's look at this. Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, will be on the program tomorrow at 9 Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. But, you know, he loves this league. He tweets about it all the time. He bets on the sport. But here you go with what teams need to do to close out the season and how many wins or losses are needed for their win total. A handful of them have already come in. Charlotte over 25.5. That's a winner.
Beautiful.
Rockets total was 34.5, no chance. Heat, that's already an under. Knicks went over a long time ago. He's the coach of the year. Suns over 38.5, and the Raptors under 41.5.
To me, it's got to be. I think it is absolutely lazy to say I'm just going to give it to whoever gets the one seed in
so
the
West. I, 100%. So
that, do I. I don't get that at all.
No. Nope. I have the Celtics under, like 45.5, I believe is the number. That was my biggest NBA bet of the year. They need to, they're suddenly red hot. Now, this would be an all-timer if I would lose that, Paulie, because they need 15 wins to still go over the total. I need one more loss to win that bet. If they close the season on like a 23-game winning streak, okay, sure. Right? But is your Dallas bet pretty much dead?
Yeah. Yep. Easy schedule, and that's, yep.
They need 13 wins the rest of the way to go over.
I can't believe
and some
that
of these
either.
Losses again.
Yeah, but I'm live with the OKC under 23. Can you believe that? They've lost 10 in a row, and they're 1-9 ATS. Just lost at Toronto. Just got beat at Detroit. Find me the win. Find me the win with, 16 games left.
You know what's funny is that if you go back before they shut everything down, it was going to take a miracle to go under. Now it's completely flipped. It's going to take a borderline miracle to go over because they're so bad.
Mm-hmm. The DraftKings already put up tomorrow night's game. Toronto's 275, again on the road against Vancouver. They were $4 yesterday. At least they got a point out of it, got beat. But you mentioned the high danger chances, and Holtby stood on his head, and they somehow lost that game to a team that had been off since late March. Well, you think the rust and 8-9 guys out in Toronto couldn't win.
High danger chances were 18-2 at one point, Toronto.
Ha!
And it was tied at 2 apiece.
Goal on the first 10, courtesy of Chris Otto. Devils 9 in a row. Leafs 6 in a row. Edmonton, 6 in a row. First period overs, Capitals 7 in a row. Edmonton's played 6 straight first period unders, and Vancouver's played 5 straight. What did you say? 6 for the game, 2 on Edmonton? Was that what it was, their streak? Third period
it
overs.
It is 8 straight for the...
8 straight unders
eight
for
straight
Edmonton?
8 straight unders for Edmonton, yeah.
Wow. Third period overs, Ottawa 12 in a row. They're in action again tonight. More on that coming up. And the VGK, I mentioned the 13-2 run. They've won 5 in a row against San Jose. Columbus has lost 5 in a row. They're on a 5-0-1 overrun. And the big one, Carolina and Tampa, they've split so far 3-3. Tampa only $1.20 at home in the first game on the board. And Florida's 215 at Circa. So I mentioned all the issues, trials and tribulations with Columbus. Stars are 240. Knights are 240. Boy, they put up a 6 in the Oilers game. Edmonton at home against Montreal. And Calgary's $2 against Ottawa. So there's that third period angle here with 12 straight third period overs. And Nashville's only $1.30 against the Blackhawks. Not the best card, better card tomorrow. But the other thing, I mean, you asked me earlier, I have no idea who's going to win some of these divisions. I don't know who's going to, the Central, the East, the Bruins certainly, whether you've grabbed 8 or 12-1, 6 points back of Washington with 3 games in hand, and what did I say, 7 left against Buffalo and New Jersey still?
Yeah. But the Sabres are playing frisky. I think it's 12-1 last 13 where they have actually covered the puck and a half. They're getting a puck and a half. And then they've had, I mean, the win yesterday, the timing of that loss for Pittsburgh is a real doozy.
Uh-huh.
And they had a big win last week as well. Buffalo did. Was it against the Capitals? Yeah, they stunned the Capitals, like 5-2 or whatever the score was.
Mm-hmm.
So they're suddenly playing some pretty decent hockey, and it's not like a gimme anytime you have them on the schedule. We got a lot of reaction today, by the way, about the onside kick. Because Peter King wrote in his column today that it's doomed.
The 4th and 15 is doomed.
The 4th and 15 part is doomed.
Yeah,
right.
Because they're still concerned.
About a random pass interference call could change.
These guys are just so stuck. Well, that's how we've always been, just stuck in their ways. Well, this is how it's been. It's like what he wrote about, too, with the make it, take it, or you pick the spot, whatever, with the overtime. It just, these guys are like, nah, we can't now. They're just so old and artifacts and relics. You bring this new stuff to the table, and they just, it has no shot.
You know, they were willing to change the...
What was the response? I want the 4th and 15.
People want to change.
It'd be great. Of course, it'd be great.
People don't. They were coming up with like other ideas as well, like on email today and stuff like that. I don't know. But it's just like, we got to do something about the onside kick. Remember, I mean, when the league had a problem with the extra point, they called it a non-football play because kickers rarely missed like a 19-yard extra point.
Peter King led the charge for that. I'll give
okay, you okay, sure. Yep. But they were willing to do that because it was a non-football play. I would ask you then, NFL, how was the onside kick a football play? Because
what is it, three in the last three like, last year? I think there was three.
Was it like 3 for 60 or something like this?
67 or something? Yeah.
It's almost impossible for that to happen. Mm-hmm. Guess what used to almost be impossible? Missed extra points. And you changed it, and now it's become much more interesting.
Can you imagine how exciting that would be? The whole book's going crazy. Here we go, 4th and 15. They convert. The drive stays alive.
You imagine, because you know what would happen? That would 100% take place in playoff games. There's no doubt we would have like these big spots. Oh, my God, there's 47 seconds left. And now it's 4th and 15. They're down by 6. What if they get this?
Where do you put the ball if they don't get it? What would you like to see that?
You mean that rule that the Ravens wanted to pass?
No. Just the 4th and 15.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
If the team doesn't convert, where do I take over? 30? Where do we start from? Yeah, where do we start the play from? Same spot? 30, 35, 40?
I guess you just do it at the same spot, right? Where if they're short, like let's say they pick up 12 yards, okay, they're short, then you take over where that play ended.
That's a great idea. With exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the largest offer of live in-play options, BetRivers Sportsbook's the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and one-time playthrough. BetRivers, your hometown book. Valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Play sugarhouse.com in Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And then with the association, Jazz and Lakers do it again. They tango again. Jazz are laying 5.5 open at DraftKings. Denver's laying 6. Spurs are laying 1. How bad is OKC? The Wizards are 10-point favorites.
And that's all you need to know.
Nope. And then Miami's laying 10 against Houston. This is just hilarious from the Amazing But True department. Houston once was 11-10 on the season. They're 15-42 now. And boy, what a bad loss by the Suns.
Well, I wanted to point this out too, right? So for those of you who've been, you know, watching the show, listening over the past couple of months, you may have gotten involved on the Suns at a good number, 16, 18, 22-1 to win that division. I got 16. This is back in February. And I finally, it's time, because I woke up to a bunch of emails today, and like, what are we doing with this bet? The time to bail, to me, was Saturday night. I was fortunate. I shopped around. I got Clippers plus 110.
Yeah, they lost Friday to the Sixers.
Yep. So it was Saturday night.
I've seen enough.
Yeah, I can't do it anymore. I don't want the anxiety. The final month of the season, maybe they win a division. And, some people don't like the hedge, as I said earlier. I like to lock in. I like to put myself in position to make a profit a lot of times.
You have to. Now you have to.
Yep.
At Milwaukee, at Philly, at Boston, at Brooklyn, at New York, Clippers, Jazz. That's the rest of the month for the Suns. And they're up 3 in a loss column. You got routed at home by the Spurs.
It was never a game, Paul.
It cannot happen.
It was a blowout from the jump.
Dallas?
I mean...
And Miami. Can't figure them out.
Yep.
Suns are easy. They play up to the competition and down to the competition.
Exactly right. Yeah. Really good guest today on the program.
Oh, excellent.
Very good. From everybody who was on the show. And a great job by Dan Miller, who's filling in today this week as well behind the glass. Great job by Dan and everybody, as always, who... sits behind the glass and does everything that you don't see here behind the scenes on this program. Good luck with your bets tonight. We'll see you.